Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So, yet another ancient document surfaces to tell us about the real Jesus. In this case, the Gospel of Judas. Written by Gnostics, the Gospel of Judas is only the latest attempt to debunk the Christian faith. For the truth about this lie, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer begins a series on slandering Jesus, lies being told about the man who claimed to be the Son of God. Join us now for a message on lie number one, Judas did Jesus a favor.
His name is Judas. And the word Judas means praise. Last name, Iscariot, possibly from the town of Kirioth, which is in southern Judah. Let's keep in mind that Judas was at one time a teenager. Filled with all kinds of dreams and aspirations and ready to take on the world. One time he was also a baby, and we can imagine that parents in those days who used to name their children in accordance with what they hoped their child would become, as they would call him in from play, they hoped that someday their little baby boy would become a man whom people would praise. They were wrong. And could I say candidly, young woman, young man, you have no idea what baby you're holding in your arms today. Could be a Billy Graham, could be a Florence Nightingale, could be an Adolf Hitler, could be a Judas. Surely those parents had no idea that their child, that they had such high hopes for, would become a man whose name is derision and symbolic of being a traitor. We don't know where he and Jesus met, but maybe it was because Jesus was in the southern part of the area that they connected. And after one night of prayer, Jesus is interceding regarding the 12 disciples and whom he should select, and Judas is selected as one of the inner circle, the inner sanctum of friendship with Jesus. Now, throughout history, Judas has been synonymous with being a traitor, as I mentioned, and yet there are those who have tried to rehabilitate him and to try to get us to think differently of him. A number of years ago, a man by the name of William Clausen wrote a book in which he says that the idea of betraying, handing over, is a neutral term, and Judas handed Jesus over to the authorities for inspection and evaluation, and there was nothing really fundamentally wrong with that. The problem is, it's very difficult to come out of the New Testament and have a neutral opinion of Judas. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, he is specifically spoken of as being a traitor, for example. He is spoken of as the son of destruction, the son of perdition. He's also spoken of as one who had Satan inhabit him, as we shall see in a few moments. And so it's very difficult to put a positive spin on Judas in the New Testament. But there's been another attempt to do that, and that is in the so-called Judas document, or the Judas Gospel, the Gospel of Judas. Let me read to you from James Robinson, just to introduce the topic. He is the editor of the Nag Hammadi Library and is America's leading expert on ancient texts. In his book, The Secrets of Judas, he writes this: "The Gospel of Judas, a long-lost second-century fictional account that elevated Judas to hero status in the story, has been rediscovered. But it has been kept under wraps until now to maximize its financial gain for its Swiss owners. The grand exposé is being performed by the National Geographic Society, timed for the greatest impact right at Easter. Those on the inside have been bought off, no doubt with considerably more than 30 pieces of silver, and they've been sworn to silence on a stack of Bibles, or maybe a stack of papyrus leaves. He goes on to say that what has gone on in this money-making venture is not a pleasant story about how all of this has been sprung upon us, the reading and the viewing public. You have a right to know what is going on, and the rest of the book is the story of what really went on. When the Judas document was released, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Felt like doing both simultaneously. I need to tell you that the only reason for the hype has to be because of the basest of motives. Yet there are those who say that it's the most important archaeological find since the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Others say it will change our minds about Judas from bad guy to good guy. Others say it also changes our view about Jesus. He's presented not as divine, but actually he just exists in a different realm. He's the laughing Jesus who believes in more than one God. Well, I assume that most of you have not read the Judas document. I've read it all, as in the book that was published and hyped with the essays that go along with it. So let me just give you a little flavor, and then we're going to make some comments and show how silly it is to think that this document could change our view of Judas. It begins by saying the secret account of the revelation that Jesus spoke in conversation with Judas Iscariot during a week, 3 days before he celebrated the Passover. By the way, that's what the Gnostics always used to do. They always, remember, the word Gnosticism means knowledge. We have some hidden insight. Jesus revealed something to Judas, this great secret. Jesus spoke to his disciples about mysteries beyond the world and what would take place at the end. Often he did not appear to his disciples as himself, but he was found among them as a child. Jesus morphed, because remember, they didn't believe that Jesus had become flesh. Many of them believed that he only appeared to be flesh. One day he was with his disciples in pious observance when he approached his disciples gathered together and seated and offering a prayer of thanksgiving over the bread, he laughed. The disciples asked why he is laughing, and Jesus replies he's not laughing at them because they're doing the will of their God, which is different from his God. When they became angry, Jesus asked anyone among them to bring out the perfect human to stand before him, and only Judas was able to stand before him. I'm skipping a lot now because I'm only going to read two or three more lines. Jesus says to Judas, "You will become the 13th, and you will be cursed by other generations, and you will come to rule over them. In the last days, they will curse your ascent to the holy generation." So Judas, they're going to speak evil of you, but guess what? In the end, you're going to be a hero. What do we find in this Gnostic document, the same documents that we've become so acquainted with because of the Da Vinci Code? A couple of things. First, there are many different gods. The reason why Jesus is laughing, he's saying, you're praying to your God, but, you know, I've got a different one over here. The Gnostics believed in between 2 and 30 gods. You could kind of take your pick. Second, you see a blend of Greek mythology in the writing. Remember, the Gnostics tried to blend Greek thinking with Christianity. That's why Jesus talks about stars. In another text in the document, Jesus laughs and explains, "I'm not laughing at you, but at the error of the stars, because these 6 stars wander about with these 5 combatants, and they all will be destroyed along with their creatures." So you have this reference to astronomy and astrology. This laughing Jesus of the document is divine, but only in the sense that all of us are divine. He was from a realm from above. He was not flesh and blood, but only appeared to be human. There's another text in which Jesus is laughing too. I'll refer to it in this series of messages. As you know, this is a series entitled The Jesus Deception, Lies Being Told About the Son of God. And the first lie, which we're dealing with today, is the lie that Judas was a hero, that he did Jesus a favor. Now, later on, we're going to be dealing with the Islamic view of Jesus. And they believe that Jesus didn't die, but somebody else was crucified in his place. I will read at that time a Gnostic document that says Jesus was sitting on the branch of a tree and laughing during the crucifixion because he fooled them. They thought that they were crucifying him, and they were actually crucifying someone else. So why is it that Judas is the hero in the story? Well, Judas is asked to basically betray Jesus so Jesus could get out of his human body. I need to summarize. Jesus could get out of his human body, and most assuredly there would be no resurrection, because why would he want to come back from the dead when the body was considered to be evil? It was the kind of thing that you wanted to get out of. Well, that's a brief summary of the Judas document. Could I just be frank today? Everybody okay with just being up front? There is so much hype. For example, you hear on the news, it's an authentic document. You know what they mean by authentic? It is an old document. It goes back maybe to 3rd or 4th centuries. In that sense, it's authentic. But it is, all scholars agree, written 100 years after Judas and Jesus were on this earth, written by a bunch of Gnostics who were forever perverting the scriptures. Let me tell you about the Gnostics. The people who wrote this letter were Cainites. They were followers of Cain. They followed anyone who rebelled against the God of the Old Testament. The inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah were their heroes. Is it any wonder that these people would take someone who is against Jesus in the New Testament and make him into a hero? 100 years after the time of Jesus, and this is going to change our perception of Jesus, as you read in the news? Oh, brother. I mean, what are we going to do with this?
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I want to ask you a question. When your children go off to university and they study religion, what are they studying about Jesus? Are they being introduced to the Gnostic Gospels? Are the professors saying that these Gospels are more authentic than the Gospels of the New Testament? Possibly so. How do we answer that? Those are the kinds of objections I deal with in my book entitled Slandering Jesus, Six Lies Being Told About the Man Who Claimed to Be the Son of God. This book is actually written for lay Christians. It does not have a lot of scholarly jargon, but it uncovers what is being said about Jesus today that is actually slanderous. For example, also the issue of whether or not Jesus died on the cross. Did you know that the Quran teaches that Jesus did not die? All of that is documented in this book entitled Slandering Jesus. I wrote it so that all of us might be aware of what is being taught, that we might have a better understanding of our culture, and that we might be able to defend the authentic Christ in a world that has lost its way. Ask for the book entitled Slandering Jesus, Six Lies Being Told About the Man Who Claimed to Be the Son of God.
Good words from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who just brought us part one of Judas Did Jesus a Favor? The first lie in a new series on Slandering Jesus, Lies Being Told About the Man Who Claimed to Be the Son of God. Next time, tune in to hear more about the kind of Jesus depicted in the so-called Gospel of Judas. This series can be yours in Dr. Lutzer's book, Slandering Jesus. A copy is yours as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write or call, ask about Slandering Jesus. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.